All of this started with an outbreak. The moment when the dead started to come back. Everyone remembers it, and everyone lost somebody. Walkers, they're everywhere. There are no safe places. They are like the wind or water, seeping in wherever there's a crack. You can kill individual walkers, but you can never take out so many that makes any kind of a real difference. When the world's gone to shit, and the dead walk among the living, the only thing left that matters is family. Hi, hello everyone. My name is Turk and welcome back to the Grouch Couch. Today we're doing a solo TTRPG. As I'm sure you've seen by the thumbnail and the title, it's going to be a zombie apocalypse TTRPG. I've been playing a lot of solo stuff in my off time, but it's finally time, I think, for me to do it and share it with you. I'm very excited. A story and an adventure that me and you get to experience together. Also, this is a subject matter that I'm super, super excited about. I love zombies. I love apocalypses. I love the setting. So this is going to be really cool, and I'm really excited about it. So if you know a lot about me, we're going to be using the Mythic Game Master Emulator 2nd Edition. I love Mythic. I love everything about it. It works for me. I use it in my own way sometimes, but it gets the job done, and it's perfect. If you don't know anything about it, I'll explain it as we play, so don't worry about it. But we're also going to be pairing it with the Walking Dead Universes RPG. This actually has some solo rules and roll charts in it already, which is fantastic, but it's not enough for me, so we're going to be pairing it with Mythic, and I think together they're going to make something really, really cool. So The Walking Dead does have some solo rules in it that we're going to get into and use as we play. It's fantastic. It also does come with some roll charts. As you can see here, we've got critical injuries, encounter types, item qualities, and stuff like that. We've got dozens of roll charts that they provide for us over here. Also, we have our beautiful Mythic module for Foundry that we're going to be using. So anytime we need to roll a fate question or anything like that, we can actually just click away and it rolls and it gives us the yes, no, or unsure answers. Now, with all of that out of the way, I do want to say that as we play today, I'll explain as much as, you know, I feel like I need to. And if you don't know anything about either of these things, the main idea here is to tell a story. And I'm really excited to tell our own story in this Walking Dead universe. I've read a lot of the comics. I've got a lot of the stuff here on my shelf. I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, so this should be a really fun thing for us to do together. Now we're going to talk a little bit about our character. And I made this character. I did a separate recording. It's kind of boring. And this character's name is Jesse Ryder, or Jay is what people call him. And I had this idea to make an older brother character who has a younger brother. And he's trying to, like, find him, go out there and get him. So I started the character creation process. And what came out of it at the end of the day after doing all my roles and stuff, I think is really cool. I was a truck driver before the world ended. And even before that, he used to be a former street racer and a drug dealer. Explain more about that in a minute. But Jesse Ryder, he's a tough, reasonable older brother with a troubled past. Growing up with an alcoholic mother, he became the caretaker for his younger brother, Aiden. Aiden's the younger brother. Resorting to crime to provide for them. After a stint in jail, Jesse turned his life around becoming a truck driver and sending money home to support Aiden. When the world fell apart, Jesse was out on the road. And now his sole mission is to reunite with Aiden and ensure his safety, no matter the cost. Driven by his loyalty and survival instincts, Jesse uses his street smarts and driving skills to navigate the chaos of the apocalypse. I thought this was really cool. Just this idea of this hardened criminal guy who was really trying to turn his life around. So he's got this dark past and a troubled childhood, you know, like stealing money out of his mom's purse to try and pay for food for him and his brother. Then he's out on the road and the apocalypse comes, the world ends, and now he needs to get home and ensure his brother's safety. Was kind of a story that I could really get behind. And so that's what we have. We don't have very many descriptors about Aiden yet. I figured that could come up if and when we actually get and meet him and get to that point. We can do that together. But for now, all we know is that he's the younger brother. And so I picture while he was out on the road, he's using like a CB radio to talk back and forth with his brother in his truck, which made sense to me in this setting because as the world ended, he's probably on the other side of the United States. He's got to get back to California to, you know, find his brother and stuff. The whole time they're talking through these CB radios. I've got a couple of issues. The Walking Dead TTRPG encourages you to make issues. And so one of them is that he's a kleptomaniac. He used to steal from his mom's purse to feed his brother. Now it comes like second nature. So he's always stealing from people by accident. So even though he's got this dark past and he's trying to be better, he still accidentally steals from people. even when he doesn't mean to, which I feel like is kind of an issue in the apocalypse. If you're stealing from like your friends, they might ban you from a safe haven or something like that. So it's going to be tough to work through. And also, he's got a really bad past. And the name of the game is that he hopes his brother never finds out all the bad shit that he did to take care of him. And the last one is, I won't kill another human being. So he's killed before, I imagine, during street racing, during drug dealing, something like that. He had to kill, maybe even while he was in jail, he got forced to kill somebody and it ruined him and he doesn't want to do it again. So he's fine killing zombies, but if it comes, push comes to shove and killing a human, there might be some issues. So now also, when you make a character with the system, if you're interested in doing it yourself, in the solo rules, you get like extra, you get an extra skill. You also get an extra talent, which is kind of nice when you're playing solo. So we have two talents here. Speed Freak, we get a +2 to mobility whenever we're using a vehicle, which is nice. And we're handy. So with a little time and some tools, I can repair most things, even if I don't have the right parts. I also get a +2 to tech when you repair things as a project. And so I was thinking, like, he's like building rigs and working on cars and stuff like that back in his old days. So those are our two talents. Sadly, all that we start with is a small axe and some lockpicks. We don't have a gun or anything like that, but we did also get signal flares and a stash of drugs and medicine. So now that explanation's done, we've got some light ambient music. We've got the lights turned down. One little tip for anybody else who's looking to do solo play. This is like me time when I'm solo playing. I get to like push my imagination, and solo playing is almost like journaling, which journaling has actually been proved to help mental health and stuff. So this is actually something I love to do. And when I do it, I try to set the mood, you know, completely get into whatever I'm playing. So that's what we're doing here. And we're going to begin our story. I figure, why not? There's no better way to start than to just start. And my general idea for the starting of our story was that Jesse has been on the road for weeks, navigating the road, getting around the dead and the broken down cars, getting stuck on highways, trying to make it back, and all the highways are just full of just busted up cars and dead bodies. I picture it's a couple months into the apocalypse. So it's not fresh, but there are still some things left around, you know? Like if we do scavenge, we might be able to find a little bit of food or something like that. It's not too crazy. We're at around the beginning of the apocalypse, which I figured was the best place to start our story, because who knows how long this might be going for. Every night, when he's on the road, he uses the CB radio to contact his little brother back in his hometown. Just to check in on him. Quick little check-ins. He knows he's been in jail. He knows the people might be listening in, so it's always quick, you know? Maybe they have some code words that they say. And he just calls little brother on the CB radio and say, "Hey, little bro, you there?" And then Aiden calls back and he says,
"Yeah, I'm here. Everything's good."
Like, "All right, good. Just checking in on you. Still a few weeks out. I'll be there soon."
He says, "All right. See you soon, brother. Waiting for you."
And I think he knows, like, his brother has to be held up in, like, the attic of their house, right? He's up there by himself, staying quiet, using his coloring pencils and stuff like that. Just staying real quiet, like his older brother told him to. And our story starts when his truck breaks down. He's been pushing his truck to the limit. He's been hitting dead bodies. He's gotten a couple accidents. He's been pushing it to the limit to try and get back home. And for the sake of the Walking Dead system, the truck was his haven. But it's broken down, and so now he's havenless. And the truck breaks down, which means he also loses the CB radio. Which means he can no longer check in with Aiden. He doesn't know where he is. And he doesn't know if he's doing okay. And so that's his big stress, right? And we actually do have our threads list. The first one is to find my little brother. The second one is, is my old gang alive? And I actually put one in here, and I think I took out, but I'm going to put it back. It was just my car, ? Because I picture he was a racer, right? He used to race cars. So he might still have this car back in his hometown somewhere. He might be trying to find it. But we're going to put another thread in here that's just check in on Aiden. It's a simple thread, but we're going to put it in there because we can no longer contact him via CB radio, so hopefully we can figure out something. Now, when we have our characters list, all we have is Aiden on there. That's it. That's all we know. We know Jay. We know Aiden. So, our truck breaks down. It's like steaming. It's like mist coming out of it. He knows that it's busted. He's been handy with mechanics for a long time. He knew that the truck wasn't going to last very long. Maybe there's like pieces of zombies like lodged in the radiator and it's like leaking radiator fluid and stuff. And he's like, he's out of the truck and looks in. He's like, damn. And he looks around. And what does he see when he looks around? So where did our truck break down at? This is our first roll. And we're going to roll on our locations element mini chart. And we're at Chaos Factor 5. All right, music, don't scream at me. We're at Chaos Factor 5, which means if we roll doubles under 5, right, so under 55, then we get an extra random event. So locations, element meaning table, let's do it. Protected, stylish. And the name of the game here is to take the words and analyze them however you would, right? Usually when I play, if nothing pops in my head right away, I also just do general discovery meaning descriptions. So we also got frighteningly extraordinary. Protected and stylish. Stylish to me screams mall. So I'm thinking there's a giant extraordinary. There's a giant protected mall. It's probably got fences up around it and barbed wire from like when the military set it up. Yeah, the military set up a safe point. As we all know, the safe points only lasted a couple of weeks before they completely got broken down, but he sees this big wall around this mall. There's just like blood and bodies everywhere. Like it was at one point a safe point in this, I'm assuming, town that he's in, that his truck broke down in. I think as Jesse would see this, his first thought is, I need to get another car so I can get back on the road to get back to my brother. He's going to go around the back of his truck. He's going to pull out his small axe, put it over his shoulder. It's the only real weapon that we have. And he's going to walk towards the mall to check the parking lot to see if there's any good working vehicles there. All right. And so as we approach this gate here, I picture it like a concrete gate. So you can't like see through it. And there's like barbed wire over the top of it. But there has to be like an opening where like a bunch of zombies like pushed it open and got inside of the mall. And there's probably like some bodies on the ground. But as he gets closer to it, I'm sure he's going to listen in. Because it's been a couple weeks. He knows how these zombie things work. So he's actually going to listen in to see what he hears. And I'm actually going to roll a scouting roll. Our first actual dice roll here. So the way this works is you get successes and you create a dice pool and you get successes. I'm going to say that we just need one success to see if we hear anything as we approach this gate here. And we have 3 in wits and 1 in scout, which means we get 4 dice to our dice pool. We got 0 successes. So we approach, we don't hear nothing. So he's just going to push through then. He's going to push through the gate. And he's going to look around this rock wall just to see if there's any walkers on the other side. And I'm actually going to roll our first fate question. And I'm going to call it very likely that there's some walkers shambling around in the parking lot here of this protected mall. Very likely. Exceptional, yes. We got a 7. Jesus. On a D100? Okay. So that means as he rounds the corner, he sees dozens of walkers just all around these broken down cars. Like, there's a bunch of them slamming up against the glass windows, like, pff, 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 like trying to get in the inside. Then he's probably like, he sees them trying to get inside, and he's like, why are they trying to get in there? You know, there has to be something going on in there. And as he like looks around, is there any alive people? Like, other survivors, maybe on the roof, maybe he can see through the windows. I mean, if the zombies are slamming on the windows and they're all gathered there, there has to be noise. So I'm going to roll again and I'm going to say very likely. 88. No. Okay. So there's no alive people here. Maybe it's like one of those malls where there's like cars on the inside. He's looking for a car. Maybe there's a car on the inside and its alarm is going off. You know, like in the center of malls, there's like vehicles and its alarm is going off. So all the dead people are trying to get on the inside of the mall so they can figure out whatever the noise is. But it's like, hur, 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 like alarm going off on this car. And so I'm sure he hears this thing. thing happening. He sees no people, but he sees the car, and Jesse's like, target acquired. You know, like that's a vehicle that we need. We need to get in there and get that thing. So what is he going to do now? First of all, have the zombies seen him? They're distracted by the car. I'm honestly going to say there's no way, nearly impossible, that the zombies even noticed him. We could roll a stealth check, but we haven't moved anywhere, so we're going to call it nearly impossible. No. Okay, so they haven't seen him. That's a 49. Not too bad. So he gets a second to look around. He's going to look up. Is there fire escape? At the front of the mall? I don't know. I'm going to say unlikely. No, there's no fire escape. All right, so there's no fire escape. We'll try one other thing to see if we can get into this mall. I mean, usually there's like some kind of emergency vehicles whenever military is setting up like a stop point, you know? So maybe there's like a fire truck or like a big ambulance or something that he can climb on top of to then climb into a window. And being that I said military, I'm assuming it's going to be very likely that that's the case. 79. That's a no again. Okay. So then I'm going to say he looks, takes one look, sees hundreds of zombies here. And he goes, I'm going to have to see if I can get in around the back. There's no other way for me to get into the front. But that car in there, that is a brand new vehicle, untampered by zombies. If it has gas in it, I got to get in there before the battery dies because the alarm, who knows how long that's been going off. And he's going to stealth the heck out of here. So we're going to roll us a stealth. One of our better skills here, we've actually got 5 in agility and a 3 in stealth. 3 is our primary skill, so we actually get to put 3 in it when we built our character. So hopefully we're going to be good at this here. We're rolling 8. Just need a success. Let's go. 0 successes. Oh no. All right. So as he turns to leave and he goes to sneak out, there's all those dead bodies right in front of the opening of the gate. And he crunches down on one of the skulls. And there's a few stragglers of zombies that are at the back end of this party of all these zombies. They turn, they see him, and they start heading his way. They're pretty slow. They're a little ways away. But he did get their attention, and they are headed out now. And he looks, he sees, oh, all right, be careful. And he keeps on his way around the back. He knows that they're coming his way. So he better get doing whatever he's going to do quickly. And he goes out the gate. Does anything happen on the way around to the back? Or does he just get there all in well? We're just going to call it an unsure roll. Does anything happen? Unsure, but no, but we got doubles of a chaos die. So we got an uninspected random event that is trick and war. NPC action. Trick and war. Trick and war. I know exactly what trick and war means. Trick and war means trap, which sucks for us. But I have an idea. So as Jay's going around the outside of the block wall, he's going pretty quickly because these zombies are coming after him. He knows it. And so he's not really paying attention. And he steps down onto a rope trap that tightens around his ankle and pulls him up into the air, like 10 feet into the air. He's hanging upside down. And does he drop his axe whenever he gets pulled down like that? What should I roll for that? Agility? Does he drop his axe? Yeah, no successes. He drops his axe to the ground. It's down there. He's hanging 10 feet in the air, upside down. And the straggler bit of zombies, I'm going to roll a D10 to see how many. That's a 3. So there's 3 zombies that get right up on him. And they're like grabbing at his hands, pulling at his hair. I'm sure his hat fell off down on the ground too, and they're stepping all over it. And he sees his hat getting stepped on. It's like the trucker hat he got whenever he got the trucker job. And he loves that hat. It's getting stepped on, and he's just like, oh man, friggin' hat. And he's like trying to not let them grab him, and he's hanging upside down. Oh my goodness. And so moving forward, I think he's going to be hanging there, man, for at least an hour. He doesn't have his axe. He can't cut the rope. He's holding his arms up. He's trying not to let the blood rush down to his head. As he's hanging there, the sun is beginning to set and the blood's rushing to his head. He's like falling asleep, and he hears a noise like and arrows land into the three heads of the zombies below him. And he hears footsteps approaching. And he like releases because he's trying to get the blood rush to his head. And he looks out and he sees how many people are standing there. He's going to see people standing there. How many is it? How many is it? D6. Three people. We have an element meaning characters. We're going to roll a couple of times on this. First, what does he see? We've got appearance. What do these three people look like? Common equipment. So they got bow and arrows, but they're not crossbows. They're just bows. They're wearing like normal clothes, blue jeans. For our descriptors, we've got familiar yet combative. So they look like his type of folks, you know, normal people. Imagine like two guys and a lady. I'm shuffling in my seat because that's also the thing with mythic. If you already have something in your head that's just happening, just let it flow. Let it come out of the imagination. At any point when you have to stop and ask a question or you need to move forward somehow and you're lost, that's when you roll dice. So to me in this situation, there's two guys, there's one girl. I picture the girl's got like a brown ponytail. She's got her hair up because this is a zombie apocalypse. You don't want zombies grabbing your dang hair, right? She knows that. They're each holding bow and arrows and they look up and they're kind of standing there like two of them are holding their bows and the lady's not, and she gets close. And does she know Jesse? Jesse's been around and he's getting closer back to his hometown. He's trying to get back home. So does she know Jesse? I'm going to say it's unlikely, but she might. Yes, she does know Jesse. So when she approaches for the familiar tag here, we're going to say she says, well, I'll be darned if it ain't Jay Ryder. Now, what you doing around these parts? Does she have a name? She needs a name. Do you have a name chart? We do, but it's miscellaneous names for fantasy. We got Ick and R. I like Ick. Ick could be Vicky. Vicky R. So he says, well, I'm just trying to get home there, Vicky. Oh my goodness. Did they maybe date before? Have they dated before? I'm going to call it likely. 32. Yes. So then she says, Jay, you son of a bitch. You know you broke my heart. He goes, yeah, look, I'm sorry, Vicky. I'm a changed man. For the world ended. I got a job. I'm trying to take care of my little brother, you know. And she goes, no, you riders never change. Cut him down. And when she says cut him down, I picture one of the guys walks up and is gonna hit him in the head. He has to also have a melee weapon, right? So like the blunt of an axe just hits him in the head and everything goes black. Now, as everything goes black, I think that's gonna end our first scene here. I don't know where he's gonna wake up. We're gonna roll for that. But as our scene ends, so if our character wasn't in control that whole time, the chaos factor goes up. And I think that he was not in control. So first off, our character factor, chaos factor is going to go up one. And that's going to end our scene. So where is he going to wake up now that he's been cut down? That's what's going to begin our next scene. So I'm going to roll locations and we're going to see what happens. Locations, we got harmful but important. I also want to know Vicky's motivations, which might help with our location generation here. So I'm going to roll motivations. Jealousy guide. Maybe she's jealous of little brother because when they broke up, Jesse knows it, he broke up with her because he knew he needed to start taking care of his little brother. He didn't have the time for her. So she's jealous. And whenever he mentioned the little brother, that's why she knocked him out, because she's jealous. But the location is harmful yet important. So harmful, as he awakens, he's going to awaken in some kind of a prison. They've locked him up. I also imagine harmful as a way to keep him in. They've got like a walker chained up, like just out of reach to stop him from moving. So he's in like a cage and there's a walker right on the outside of the cage, like trying to get in, like reaching his arms in, trying to get him. And he's like up against the cage, just like trying not to get bit. But it's important. How is this location important? Let's look at our threads. So for our threads, maybe it's important because we need to contact Aiden. I don't know. But I think as an important thing, we need to roll on our threads list. So it has this nice little button here. So this location is important because of one of our threads. Got a 3. My car. Maybe she has his old car. So he doesn't even need the car from the mall. He's trying to get the car from the mall, but he doesn't need the car from the mall. Well, also, we need to add Vicky to our character list. Vicky R, an ex-girlfriend. Gotcha. So it's important because he wakes up in the cage. He's in a cage in a garage. It's like a big warehouse garage. And in this garage, there's a bunch of nice cars. And as he finally gets to look around, as he's looking around, he sees his car. I haven't rolled to see what kind of car it is yet, but it's probably nice or could be messed up. Either way, Jay's attached to it. And he sees his car in this garage. And as he's waking up, Vicky approaches. So conversations, we rolled on. We got plans, creepy. So she's like a villain. She's got like a mob of guys. Maybe Vicky's not like the leader, but she's like, you know, an underling, you know? And she's talking to all of them and she's like, well, once the boss gets all these cars, we can all get the heck out of here. We're going to drive. We're going to live on the road. She's talking about her boss's plans, right? But she's kind of creepy. So then she sees Jay's awake and she walks over to the cage. She's like licking her lips. She like sticks her hand through the cage and like strokes his hair and he kind of like moves away. And she's like, Jesse J. Ryder, you just keep falling right back into my life. And he's like, let me go, Vicky. There ain't no reason for this. But look, Vic, I'm headed home, you know. If you let me out of here, I'll bring you with me. How does she feel about that? We're going to make it an unsure roll. Does she want to leave? Does she want to go back home? No. It's an 81, so she wants to be where she's at. So she laughs at him. She goes, I don't want to go nowhere. Do you think I want to go back home, Jesse? Actions table. Free goal. Free goal. Her goal is to be free, maybe. I mean, that's right across the board. Maybe she has moved on from Jesse. Hey, well, has she moved on from Jesse? No. So she hasn't moved on. She still likes him. But does she have a new man? No. What if it's simple? Sometimes things are just simple. What if she's like, Jesse, I don't want to go nowhere with you. But I want to be free. I want to be far from here. And I've teamed up with these guys because they're getting cars. And one of these cars is going to be my key to freedom. The leader of our group, he's got all the keys. Well, say you let me go and I can track him down. And I'll get your keys for you. I'll get your keys. I'll bring them back. I wonder if I should take you up on that deal. I think she would. It's very likely. I think she would take him up on that deal. Well. So what does an exceptional no mean in this situation? We're getting so many no's today. Usually I play by myself. I don't get this many no's. This is crazy. Okay. I guess she just says, no, Jesse J, I'm taking you with me, and you're going to come with me, and she laughs, and she's going to walk away with her buddies. But here's the thing. What they didn't know is that Jesse has a set of lockpicks on him. Now, he may be in this cage, but he's got his lockpicks, as you can see, in his inventory. So we're going to use our stealth to pull the lockpicks out of our boot, unlock the lock on this cage. Because his car is right there. He's got what he needs, but we have two lockpicks. So we're going to use one of these. We have 8 dice in total. We need a success to be able to unlock this thing. And if we don't succeed, one of the things in Walking Dead is you can actually push for stress. And we might have to do that if we don't succeed. But let's roll these dice and see if we can get this unlocked. 2 successes. Yes. So he unlocks the gate. They're off on the other side of the room. He unlocks it. And I'm going to say with his 2 successes on stealth, he gets out of the gate. You know, Last of Us crawls over to his car. And this is his car. He knows everything about this car. He's in love with this car. I mean, I literally put it in his threads. So he reaches up. Is it unlocked? I want to call it a 50-50. 3. Exceptional yes. So not only is it unlocked with the exceptional yes, he goes underneath, because he knows everything about this car. He goes underneath where the tire is, where the wheel well is, and he has a hide key in there that's magnetized in the wheel well. And he grabs that key. This exceptional yes, I'm giving it to him. And he unlocks the door as quiet as he can. There's a little bit of noise. And they look over. And as they look over, they see Jesse putting the key in the engine and turning it over as it fires to life. And before I explain how he busts out of here, we need to know what kind of car this is. Also, what is the vehicle condition? What's the condition of his car? We can roll for that as well. 5. Functional, but will break down after driving D6 days if not prepared. Okay, so that's the condition of his car. It's functional, but it's not great. He's got 5 days. How much fuel does it have? Fuel, vehicle fuel, roll. Fumes, and he's on fumes. But it started up, so that's good. Jesse's car would definitely be a classic American muscle car, right? Some kind of mix of raw power, you know, sleek design, kind of like hint of rebellion, right? From back in his criminal days. And it would kind of fit his deep emotional attachment to it that might kind of like get that fix of, you know, not really having a dad growing up. He's attached to this car. And I'm thinking going to be a 1970 Chevrolet Chevelle SS. So as he starts this bad boy up, he looks over at them and he just drives forward. There's a couple of doors in front of him, but he just drives straight forward and just slams into the doors. And okay, does the car make it out scot-free? I don't know. It's kind of a question here. I'm going to keep this on screen because hell yeah, dude. Yes, the car makes it out okay. All right, exciting. He slams through. And as he gets out, he sees the outside of this warehouse. What do we got going on the outside of this warehouse? This has to be like a faction, like a straight up Walking Dead faction. And I know there's a bunch of faction stuff here. What is the size of this faction? So we're going to roll for it first. 1d6, 1. 1 through 5. So they aren't that big. It's just pretty much them. So it's like those 3, their leader, and someone else. Their faction type. They are outcasts forced together because nobody else wanted them, either in the society before the outbreak or in the world after. They could be a group of asylum runaways, prisoners, homeless people, or people who are just plain unlikable. All right, so they're an unlikable small group. I picture they're going to come back later. All right, so that's why we're getting all this information before we move on here. Faction Havens. Okay, so what does the outside look like here? A village or structure built or secured by the faction. So they're car people. They have this big old warehouse. Built? I'm thinking they've taken car parts and car doors from this junkyard and built up a fence. and they've used these car parts and stuff to build little huts. Like there's an outhouse made out of car parts and stuff like that. They've built it up. These guys are the car faction. All right, now just give me something else. Give me one last little bit to flesh this out here. Frighteningly familiar. So I'm thinking that's just the way that Jesse feels as he sees all of this. Because maybe it's the location of the outside. He realizes he's been here before. He used to come here. It used to be a chop shop where he would actually steal cars and bring them here. He would drive them here and drop them off and get money. This was the chop shop that he's been here before. So he sees cars that he himself brought here. He sees like parts of them all around from back whenever he was running. And that scares the crap out of him because his past is actually coming back to haunt him already. And he's ashamed of his past. And so he gets a little scared. I'm almost tempted to give him a stress. Does this give Jesse a stress? That's our fate question here. I'm going to say unsure. No. Okay. It does not give him a stress. Finally, the nose come in handy. Jeez. Now, being that this is his classic car, he knows this car, he loves this car. Did he install a CB radio into this car so now he can once again contact his brother? Did he do it? I'm going to call it unlikely. Actually, probably very unlikely because he was young. He wasn't putting CB radios into his car, but maybe. That's a 12. So, yes. Yes, he did. So he gets through the gate. He sees all this stuff. It scares the crap out of him. He skids out, breaks through the gate, gets back onto the road. His car is in bad shape. He's driving on fumes. He needs to fix it and he needs to get gas. But before any of that really gets in front of his mind, he pulls up the CB radio, hits the on button, and he calls his little brother as the sun has set and it's nighttime again. So it's time for him to get in contact with him. And he says, "Hey, little brother, you out there?" Does Aiden call back? We'll call it a 50-50. 50-50. No. So he calls out again. He says, "Hey, little brother, you out there? Aiden. Aiden, come in." Shit. Then he throws the CB radio thing on the ground and he hits the gas. And that, my friends, is where we're going to end this first introduction episode. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, no, for sure. But thank you so much for watching. If you have an idea for an NPC name or even a PC name that you want me to use in this story, drop it in the comments below. I'll even just use your username if you want to drop a comment about the show, or you can straight up just comment an NPC name you want me to use. If you have some suggestions or some questions about something or even for systems or something else that I could use, also please do let me know. And what do you think about the story so far? What do you think is going to happen with Jesse and Aiden? I don't know. Who knows? But I'm very excited to be doing this. I'm so excited. I don't know if you could tell the whole time I was playing. I'm just so into The Walking Dead and the zombie universe and everything else. And it's honestly so much more about the characters than it is just the zombies, you know, surviving and family and what is what and everything else like that. So it's really cool. And I've been doing solo RPGs for a long time, so it's fun for me to finally step out of my shell and do it online again. I did a small series before. They got a lot of love from everybody that I never continued. So I'm excited to be doing this. So thanks for watching. Do subscribe and hit the bell if you don't want to miss the next episode. We upload loads of stuff here on the channel, though. Don't be afraid, because it's always us just having some fun. It usually has to do with nerdy stuff and TTRPGs. So thank you so much. I have been Turk. Thanks for watching.